to Grow It Minnesota, the podcast about growing fruit, vegetables, flowers, and anything else in a cold, cold climate. I'm your host, Mary Shear, a home gardener and garden writer based in St. Paul, Minnesota. My book is The Northern Gardener, From Apples to Zinnias, a basic guide for northern gardeners with a little history thrown in. The history is from the Minnesota State Horticultural Society. I also edit their magazine, Northern Gardener, and you can find more about that at northerngardener.org, or check out my blog, mynortherngarden.com. Now let's get on to today's guest. Well, welcome everybody. Today we're going to talk about winter sowing, and my guest is Michelle Merrill Rydell. She is a photographer, a wonderful professional photographer. She's a master gardener in Washington County in Minnesota and a regular contributor to Northern Gardener magazine. She's also the person who introduced readers of Northern Gardener to the concept of winter sowing back more than 10 years ago, actually. But Michelle, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about how you got into gardening.
Thank you, Mary, for inviting me. Well, how I got into gardening was I first got married, and then we bought a house with about a half acre lot, and I wanted an amazing garden, mainly to fulfill my creative side, but I didn't really have enough experience. So I became a master gardener. And then I was surrounded by many gardening experts who inspired me in all areas of gardening. And their advice is just a phone call or text away. And it's just great to have so many of my friends into gardening that we can exchange lots of ideas.
Yeah, and I have seen your garden, which is just lovely. But, you know, tell people a little bit about what your garden includes. I mean, it's a little bit shady area in some spots.
Yes, it is a good mixture of part sun. And I have combined shade plants with sun plants, where the shade plants are getting maybe a little bit too much sun and the sun plants are getting a little bit too much shade, and I just force them to work together nicely. My garden is very colorful. I have a lot of texture, and I'm really all about space around my plants. I like a little bit of breathing room. So I divide my plants regularly. I have lots of garden art. My garden is also full of interesting foliage plants, and it is filled with flowers that the pollinators love. I have a lot of wavy garden edge lines, lots of boulders, a pond with a waterfall, and a place to entertain and relax. I love hosting garden tours, and I'm really fond of trying new plant introductions. And I also grow a lot of plants from seed using the winter and spring sowing method.
Yeah, so tell us, you know, about, well, first maybe define for people who don't know what winter sowing is.
Okay. It is a really easy germination process to start seeds. And you create these little mini greenhouses and you put them outside during the winter months and you just wait for the weather to warm up and germination to occur.
And how did you find out about it and how did you start using it? Because you were a very early adapter of this.
Yes,
one.
I started about 14 years ago. My front yard was re-landscaped, which, by the way, is my husband's least favorite word, and that re-landscaping provided more garden area than I had envisioned. And I was a little overwhelmed because I needed a lot of plants. So that's when I started winter sowing perennials, because a really good friend of mine showed me her fantastic results, and I was just sold on the method. And after that, I started using it to grow perennials. But then in my second year, I started using that method to grow annuals, herbs, and vegetables. And I don't have any basement room. I don't have any finished basement space. So I can't grow seeds inside my house. So it's all done outside.
Oh, so you don't do any indoor sowing under lights?
Nothing.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've that does put the pressure on you to do the winter sowing then.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. You know, and you've kind of hit on some of the advantages of winter sowing, which are you can get a lot of plants less expensively.
Yes, exactly.
But are there other advantages for doing winter sowing versus indoor sowing?
Well, first of all, winter sowing is a lot less expensive than indoor sowing because you don't need to purchase grow lights or heating devices or expensive seed trays or any of the peat pellets or whatever. There's also, there's heating mats. There's all kinds of things that you need to invest in. So for winter sowing, the only expense basically is seeds, soil, and tape. Yeah, that's it. And it also takes up a lot less space because you have your entire yard full of space to put these mini greenhouses, which is great. So nature is also going to control the germination process versus indoors. You get to control it by like where you place your lights and how much light you provide to the plants. I use just Mother Nature to grow my plants. So my perennials, for example, are much hardier, a little more vigorous, and healthier than plants indoor sowing. You know, you just kind of force them right off the bat to just be really strong and be able to handle cool temps and to be able to handle warm temps and be able to handle wind, rain. You know, they're getting hit with a lot of Mother Nature elements. So, and then on the warm days, when that mini greenhouse is outside, it can get really, really warm inside. I have put a temperature inside my mini greenhouses and it's been like around 100 degrees or more, and you don't get that kind of heat inside. So you get a lot, your plants will actually grow faster. On the flip side, inside, you get to really control the temp. You don't have to go below, you know, 65, 70 degrees. And so that's one of the problems is if we have a week in the spring where it's really cold and chilly and wet and rainy, it's hard on the mini greenhouses.
But
and then finally, the mini greenhouses also provide nice protection from deer and rabbits and squirrel or any other critters. And I try to keep my plants growing inside of them for as long as possible.
Oh, really? Okay. So let's just first, you started with perennials, and generally what I've heard is that perennials are the best kind of plants to start in winter sowing.
And I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. If somebody was new to the process, you'd say maybe start by doing perennials as opposed to annuals or vegetables in the winter sowing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Somebody new, I would recommend definitely, start with a lot of perennials, but also your first year, give the herbs, veggies, and annuals a start. You know, maybe just try with two of each just to see what, you know, how you can improve for the following year.
Now, let's sort of walk through the process of actually setting up the mini greenhouse. And when you talk about a mini greenhouse, you're really talking about a milk jug most of the time, correct?
Yes, that's my milk. A gallon-sized milk or water container is my favorite mini greenhouse. And I've tried all of them. I have tried pop bottles and juice bottles, and I have tried lettuce containers, takeout containers, rotisserie, poultry containers, everything. And my first year, I tried a lot of different containers. My second year, I did even more different types. But after the third year, I just decided on the milk cartons or the water containers and the gallons in gallon size.
Okay. And so when you prep the greenhouse, what do you do to get the...
Oh, okay. Well, the first thing I do is I cut four holes in the bottom with a box cutter. I know some people like to use a drill, but I've got really nice control over a very sharp box cutter. And with that box cutter, I also cut a horizontal line about halfway up from the bottom to the top. And I'll just put a little hole in the side of it, like right around where one handle is. And then I'll take a very heavy duty scissors and I'll completely cut a horizontal line all the way from one edge of the handle to the other, but not cut through the handle.
Right. So you're creating sort of a hinge.
Exactly. Perfect. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is once you've got, you know, holes in the bottom, you fill it with soil. And I like to add about 3 inches of soil in the container. So you can add your soil dry and then really soak it with water, or you can pre-wet your soil and add it to the container. My preference is to add soil and then really drench it with water. I really like my soil very, very saturated at the start. And then I'll take a little break because I really want to make sure that water comes out the bottom. Because if it doesn't come out the bottom, then I might need to add a little, you know, some more holes.
So you're checking for the checking for the drainage.
Exactly. I want really, really good drainage. Yes. Right. Because sometimes when you add the soil, or if you stick your knife in, your box cutter in, I like to twist it a little bit so I don't get a slit, but I get a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then after adding the soil, I'll add my seeds. And after adding seeds, I'll add a little more soil and then just lightly mist that top soil so that the seeds are completely surrounded with moisture. Next step, I'll add a plant tag inside the container along the edge, and then I will tape the container back together with duct tape right along the cut edge. And then final step is to write on the top of the container the name of the plant, because as your plants start germinating, you're going to want to know what's inside there. What is that little green leaf inside that plant? So I always like to know what's on top. I like to know what started first.
And then a question that I've heard debated among winter sowing people is, do you put the cap on the bottle or do you leave the cap off the bottle?
The cap gets tossed. If you leave it on, you're not going to have any success. Mm-hmm. You can't grow plants that way. So the cap has got to be removed. So,
okay.
Yeah. And you need to allow rain and snow to reach the soil. And I know a lot of people in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, like to start in January. And the 1 year that I started creating greenhouses in January, because I was just really excited to get started, I lost, just put it this way. I didn't have as good of germination success as I normally do. And part of it was because we got to our average annual low of minus 20 to 25, and we didn't have a lot of snow cover that year. Mm. So I always, when I'm teaching classes, I just tell people just to be patient. I would not have wanted my milk jugs placed outside last week without a lot of snow cover on them with, you know, when we had temps, you know, we didn't even get above 0 degrees. So I like to place them outside in February and in March, and I haven't started yet.
Okay. And this episode is going to go live right around Valentine's Day. So on Monday, the 15th, I think, of February. So people who haven't started winter sowing don't need to worry that they haven't started.
Right. Because they can start their perennials up until the very end of March. There's a lot of times I'm doing some last minute end of March milk carton gathering and constructing and getting them out. And it's usually by March 31st is kind of your last day to start perennials.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's later than I would have guessed.
Right. And last year I even did, at the very last week of March, I put out milkweed, swamp milkweed, which usually needs some really cold weather to germinate. And they did just fine.
Yeah. And we've had some tougher Aprils in the last couple of years. So I can see where they
might be why.
Okay. So when you've got everything, you know, put together, does it matter where you put the jugs outside? Does it matter if you put them in sun versus shade versus, you know, some combination? I mean, does any of that matter?
Yes, it does. You want to put your greenhouse out on the east, the south, or the west side of your house, not on the north side of your house. Their north side does not have enough light. So you really want a lot of sun light. I like to have on my containers, especially this time of year, all day sun, not a drop of shade. That's my preference. You also don't want to put them too close to your house because you always have to remember rain and snow needs to get inside of those containers. It's really important for the winter sowing, which is why it's called winter sowing. Mm-hmm. So, and you're creating a greenhouse with some air in it.
Right.
And as the weather warms up and germination starts and the days start to get really warm, then I start moving my greenhouses because I like to move them around. I might put them on the east side of my house. So maybe they're just getting morning to like early afternoon sun, you know, especially in the springtime when we start getting temps into the, you know, we might get some temps into the 60, 70 degrees and your greenhouse is really, really warming up. It can, as I mentioned before, it can be 100 degrees in there and you're just going to have to water a lot more. So that's why I sometimes will move them to the east side of the house just to get morning and afternoon sun.
Mm-hmm. So once you've got the containers outside and the weather is starting to get warmer, I mean, this is where I've had my problems with winter sowing, and maybe I'm just not paying enough attention to them, but how much do you move them around? Do you take the covers off or on? I mean, what kind of care do you have to do during the spring months?
Right. The spring is the most difficult time, and this is where experience is very helpful. I do move my containers around, especially as the weather gets warmer. I don't want them in all day sun because they will dry out too easily. And that's where you run into your biggest problem with any type of sowing with spring or winter with the mini greenhouses is you cannot let the containers completely dry out. You really need to have condensation in them at all times. Just sort of, as I mentioned, it is just a lot of experience will help you decide where to put them. And if you're home during the day and you can go out a couple times a day and water them on the really warm spring days, that's great. But you'll have to figure out how much, you know, sunlight to get them. Maybe just afternoon into like early evening will work best for you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you talked a little bit about labeling, having them labeled both on the outside and the inside. Because being outside, sometimes those outside markers fade in the sun and the weather and whatnot. But when you start getting little seedlings, at what point do you take the covers off completely, or do you take the covers off completely?
I do take the covers off completely. It's going to depend upon the plant and how fast it's growing. The slower it's growing, the longer I'm going to keep the tape and the cover on. But once a plant's, you know, once the leaf starts sticking out the top, which is quite funny, to see, I mean, I kind of let the plants decide, or once the, you know, some plants grow really fast, and once they start getting really full inside the container, it's time. But I'm also looking at the weather forecast. If I see that we're not going to have any temps dipping below 40 degrees, I'll go ahead and I'll completely take the tape off and cut off, separate the top from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And just leave them out. But when I do leave them outside, I try not to leave them out so that deer and rabbits can get at them, which is why it's really nice to keep the cover on as long as you can. So sometimes I'll put them up on tables. I have a plant stand that I'll put them on just to keep them up and out of the way from the rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the common problems. And when I say common, these are ones I've had. One year I got like a green mold or a green thing growing on top of the soil in my container. What too damp? Was that the issue?
Green stuff is called algae, and it is a common problem, but it's really nothing to worry about. It just means that there's an excess amount of moisture and humidity inside your greenhouse on the soil. And when that does happen, you're going to probably want to water less. So when that happens for me, I really try to make sure that the soil really doesn't completely dry out, but just really starts to dry out before I even add any extra water. And those are the containers that are going to need less water than the others. Mm-hmm. So, but it happens to me too, Mary.
Well, I'm glad that makes me feel better.
Yes, it does happen to me. And it's not every plant. I don't know why some containers have it and some don't.
Yeah. And then the other problem I've had, and I suspect I'm putting too many seeds in, is that when it's time to plant things out, I mean, the little plants come up and everything looks great, but it's just basically one big root ball at the bottom of the container.
Well, okay. Yes. For perennials and annuals, I overseed. I've always done it that way. I don't mind having a lot of tiny little plants growing all together. When I divide them, nature just kind of figures it out. And it's when I take my, when I cut the container, after I separate the top from the bottom, I will cut the four corners so I can actually get that whole cluster of soil and seeds and plants out. I love it when it's all connected and all together. You know, I don't like it when the soil is falling apart and roots are starting to get exposed. It's just so much easier to work with the plants when it's just like one big mass of plants. And then I'll just start breaking them apart and dividing them. And for the annuals and perennials, it doesn't matter if a perennial is a mixture of 10 tiny plants all together. Nature figures it out. It just becomes one plant and it's one very healthy plant.
Mm-hmm. And at what point do you start putting things into your garden, or maybe you use some of them in, ornamental containers or whatever, but what time do you do that?
I let the plant decide when it's ready. So once I have a really good establishment of strong roots, that's when I will start dividing. And everything I plant goes from the milk carton into a smaller pot, usually like a 3 or 4 inch pot. And I'm usually starting that, it just depends upon what kind of springtime temperatures we have, but usually early to mid-May is when I start to transfer them into small pots. I donate plants for garden club sales as well as for my own plant sale. So I spend most of June planting my 3 to 4 inch containers. It's just so much easier to plant a small pot that's almost root bound versus like really, really tiny plants, you know, going from the milk carton right directly into the ground. But that's my preference. I know a lot of people prefer to go from milk carton. They don't want that extra step.
Mm-hmm. And so how long would you leave them in the 3 to 4 inch pot?
As long as necessary. There are some perennials that just take so long to grow and to get established. And I might plant those early July into the garden.
So you really give them plenty of time to get big. And
yes. Healthy. Yes. And then those 3 to 4 inch pots, I'm putting them out and getting at least 6 hours of sun.
Okay.
So that they're, so that their soil's nice and warm, they get a lot bigger. And I even do that for all of my vegetables too. I don't go from the milk carton directly to the vegetable garden. I go from milk carton to the pots, and then I can take my time planting my garden.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about vegetables. So, when would you start winter sowing tomatoes, or would you even start tomatoes winter sowing?
No, I would call that spring sowing.
Okay,
for me, winter sowing is through March 31st. And then once April 1st starts, I call that spring sowing. And it's still the same process in the milk cartons, or milk or water cartons. And I usually, the crops that are warm, my warm veggie crops, those I will try to start about mid-April. My warm veggie, so those are tomatoes, peppers, corn, cucumbers are warm vegetable plants. And then the cool season vegetables, I will start like at the end of March into early April. And those would be like kale, the cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots. Mm-hmm.
Lettuce, let's get those kinds of things. And so they spend a lot less time actually in the container than your perennials or wood, right?
Yes, and it all depends. Like plants like beans grow really fast. My pumpkins grow really fast. The cucumbers grow very fast. So those and kale grows fast. Those spend less time in the milk cartons. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's, and as I mentioned before, it's all about experience. You'll eventually figure out what's going to grow faster than others and when it's best to start them.
And do you treat annual flowers like, well, it's marigolds or, you know, cosmos, whatever you might start? Do you treat those as you would vegetables and do them as a spring sowing?
Yes, I start. I know that there are a lot of annuals that can handle cold temps, but I just, in general, and even when I'm teaching this, because it's a long list of plants that you can start early, but then there's also a long list of plants that you can't start early. So I just generally make vegetables, herbs, and annuals starting April 1st. Perennials prior to April 1st.
Okay. Great. And just how many jugs, you know, how many milk jugs or water jugs would you have sitting around your yard at its peak?
I probably will have 70.
Oh, wow.
Around 70. Yeah, maybe between 60 and 80 of them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a pain to move around. I do have a couple garden carts that I'll move that make it easy to move things around.
Yeah, I would guess that's with that many, you have to really do it. Well, I figured out in this conversation a couple of the things that I've been doing wrong, which is always great. I put them on the north side because that's where my patio is. So that's got to change.
Okay, right. But you could keep them on the north side as long as they're out far enough so that your house doesn't shade them.
Yeah, I have a small yard. Okay. And then also I've been leaving the caps on. So there's to go. That's at least for part of the time. So there's mistake number two. But anyway, this has been really helpful and interesting, Michelle. And I know you sometimes teach about winter sowing and give other garden talks as well. And we'll put some information in the show notes about winter sowing and about if people want to get in touch with you. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Appreciate You're very welcome, time. Mary. Happy to help.
That was a great introduction to winter sowing, which is a budget-conscious and fun way to start seeds. Please check the show notes for links to more resources. If you have a topic you'd like to have covered here on Grow It Minnesota, please send an email to growitmn@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode.